We are live from City Diesel here at GSS. This is Sean Paul Day, and you are listening to London Taxi Radio.
We got a big broadcast to do here.
Rampaging around the streets of the capital. We have terrorist attackers driving their vehicles into unsuspecting bystanders. To deal with a virtual news blackout and put up with a corrupted, paid-off media. There is a policy of, we would if we could, but we can't. And what is the taxi trade going to do about it?
Radio, the station just for cabbies.
London Taxi Radio.
This week's news headlines from Taxi Leaks News Desk. London cabbies say they're not happy with the Met Police advertising Uber's services on their Twitter feed. On the back of Mike Brown's apologies over the ill-judged introduction of cycle superhighways, Peter Hendy has stated that he should be sacked from his position with Network Rail. London's economy is in decline as people reject restaurants, night spots and shops and stay at home. We ask, is the mayor's nighttime czar really up to the job? A woman pedestrian has been injured by a speeding cyclist going through the Bank Junction. Met Police mount surveillance on taxi drivers using their phones while sitting on King's Cross taxi rank. News broke on Thursday that Westminster Council had stopped the pedestrianisation of Oxford Street from going forward. And finally, as governments around the world advise their nationals to avoid coming to London due to the high level of violent street crime, Mayor Khan tells Londoners to police the streets themselves.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
Store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really bag you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fine, it's all good. Let me jump in, please sing in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man. Mambo number five. Jump up and down and move it all around. Shake your hand to the sound, put your hands on the ground. Take one step left and one step right. One to the front and one to the side. Clap your hands once and clap your hands twice. And if it looks like this, then you're doing it. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of you makes me your man. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the London Taxi Radio. We're up only half hour late. But we're here, and it's a lovely, sultry, sexy evening here at GSS.
London Taxi Radio. The station just for cabbies.
So we've got a lot to talk about this week, haven't we? But first of all, we're here at GSS, hosted by City Diesel. So come on down. The fuel here tonight is going to be 50 pence off if you spend £10. How about that? That's off the retail price. You can't do any better than that, can you? And they host London Taxi Radio here once a month, the second Monday of every month. So come on down, come and say hello. And I tell you what, if you get here, we'll give you a free sticker. How about that? A free London Taxi Radio sticker. Don't say we never give you anything. But things happening this week, wasn't there? Interesting things about... do you know what? The stimulus around here is unbelievable. So I'll let you in on a little secret a bit later. But we're here, and what is happening in London? We've got bandits, we've got terrorist attacks, we've got a political party that would if they could, but they can't. So what is they going on? What is going on? We are going to be back in just a second. Like I said, this is London Taxi Radio. This is Sean Paul Day. We're at GSS, hosted by City Diesel. And the fuel is coming in at 129.9. That's pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. I don't know. Is it good at the moment? Okay. Lower than everywhere else. So they take advantage of it. And at the same time, you can come down and you will get a free sticker from London Taxi Radio. Fill your boots. Fill your boots. Why don't you? Yeah, so things to think about. We're in a situation, aren't we, where we've got bandits, we've got two terrorist attacks on bridges, and we've got a political party that would if they could, but they can't. It seems we've got political impotence. And what is going on? Can't do anything, can they? I used to think the mayor used to have all this autonomy and yet couldn't do anything. And it seems like every politician, they would do something. Everybody loves black cabs, don't they? But when it comes to doing something about it, nothing gets done, does it? Nothing gets done. Everybody hates Uber, don't they? But, you know, it's the model of the future, isn't it? That's what they say. And so political parties that can't do anything, what are we going to do about it? We've got a licensing trial coming up, haven't we? What will happen if they get relicensed? I'm still of the mind that they won't be relicensed. But if they do, what are we going to do about it? We should have a plan, really, shouldn't we? Maybe we should know from our associations what they're going to do. Maybe they don't know. And maybe, does any of us know? Does any of us know what the end game is? Because we've got politicians. Could if they would, but they can't. They wouldn't know, would they? Well, as far as the regulator goes, if they don't know, they shouldn't be there, should they? They shouldn't be in the job. They at least know, well, they've got some short-term projection. And what would short-term projection be? Would it be 5 years, 10 years? They've got to know, haven't they? Because otherwise, they shouldn't be in the job. Because if you haven't got, if you don't know the big things, you can't make little decisions. Because the big things are made up of little decisions, aren't they? So there you go. You've got to know what the end game is. And I know it isn't us, is it? That's the impression I get. So if they're not relicensed, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And, yes, I've got Myrna in the studio. She's here. She's, I don't know, she's doing charades at me, you know. Anybody has ever seen Abigail's party? Has anybody ever seen Abigail's party? Because her attire is Abigail's party. It is absolutely, it's fantastic. Worth coming down to GSS for just that, isn't it? Worth coming down, filling up with diesel, because it's coming in at 129.9, and they are our hosts here. Pretty good stuff, pretty good stuff. And you get a free sticker while you're at it. We're going to be joined in the studio as well. We have the ex-branch secretary of the LTDA. That's Peter Walsh. How are you doing, Peter?
Very good. How are you, Sean?
I'm all right. This isn't the first time. So you're used to the chaos, aren't you, really?
What, in London Taxi Radio?
No, yeah. Well, come on.
Or in London in general?
Or in my head. Okay. it is a bit chaotic, but that's live radio. And it is live radio. It's not a podcast. It's live radio. How about that? Streams 24 hours a day. You listen to it 24 hours a day. So there you go. Paul Harris will be with us. And we've got two members, real life members of the real LTDA here. They'll be in, yeah, they're in talking about leafleting and the thing that they're doing for the trade. Good to hear. So Myrna, what have you got for us? No. There you go. You did it
myself.
Did a good...
I have myself.
No, yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear, yeah, loud and clear. No need to shout. She thinks she's shouting from the East Block.
I am.
From Ukrainian warship or something, you know, saying, you know, yelling at you from Georgia, Russia, you know, come on.
My series and my not.
So we had a little chat this afternoon, didn't we?
Yes.
And what's the big thing for you this week? I mean, it's Monday, I know, I'm aware.
I know, it's
and even,
Monday.
Even in the heads, but you know, Monday's a funny day, isn't it? Because you start Monday and it doesn't matter what day you start work or what day you have off. Monday's always as that beginning of the week feel about it. All your people who you owe debts to, they call up on Mondays, don't they? Don't like it, do they? These numbers that say they're from Manchester and places like that, and you go, I'm not answering that. Why would I? You know, always on a Monday, never on a Sunday.
I know lots happened since Monday morning.
What has happened? Go ahead. I'll tell you a big thing is, and this is ideology, isn't it? And it's worth getting into because it transcends our industry, I know. But we've always thought, and we've thought here at the radio station for a long time, that Uber is the blueprint for the future. That's as far as business goes. They are the blueprint. Not as far as we go, of course. But as far as business goes, of course they love them, don't they? So you drill everybody down to 0-hour taxis. You drill everyone down to no legal rights, no employment rights, nothing like that. No holiday pay, no sick pay, no entitlement to take someone to litigation. They've got to go to arbitration, something like that. This is the blueprint for the future because businesses, you can see them at the Institute of Directors down there, which all gave Kalanick a standing ovation, remember, on his inaugural speech, standing ovation by that lot, led by George Osborne, of all people. He's a favourite around here, yeah, led by George Osborne. So they would love this system, wouldn't they? Because they're thinking, I've got to pay all this maternity leave, I've got to pay all this holiday pay, all this sick pay, let's do away with that, let's have zero-hour contract, let's make everybody can be an independent contractor, and then we can all feel empowered, can't we, because we're all independent contractors. But this is a case in point, isn't it? They would love that. So Uber's got this situation now where they can recognise facial expression. They can recognise, like if you're walking down the street and you might look on a Saturday night in an area that has some nightlife and it might take you a little bit too long to put in your code in your app. You can't take a taxi now, can you? You can't take one. You can't take one of their versions anyway. Can't take one because, you know, they'll sort out that. This is thought crime. It's like, this is George Orwell, isn't it? George Orwell's 1984. This is thought crime. Can see from your facial expression or see from you taking a bit too long on a Saturday night. Now, I'll tell you the consolation with that is if there's a single female walking down the street, a bit drunk, which, you know, you want to get her home, wouldn't you? Well, her not getting in the vehicle because they deem her to be a bit drunk might be the safest thing that ever happened. Do you know what I mean? It might actually be enabling her safety by not letting the driver pick her up. That's all I can say. But what a horrible, horrible totalitarian system. The KGB would have loved all this control, wouldn't they? What a horrible system this is. I've got Paul Harris here. How are you doing, Paul? Paul Harris.
Good evening to you,
Paul,
sir.
I know, I'm about that for dulcet tones.
And good evening to your fellow guests that are on this show tonight as well.
I think you know them.
Well, yes, yeah. I know the amazing Peter Walsh.
Peter Walsh, he did a great job. But you've been
still does.
You've been to Great Yarmouth by the look of you.
I have, yes. I brought my bucket and spade.
Is it about Bridlington?
Yep, got me big toe bitten by a crab.
Yeah.
There we go. Eat it afterwards.
Who said the game's dead, eh? Come on, if you can go to Great Yarmouth. You do.
Great Yarmouth, yeah. I had to put diesel in as well, by the way.
Oh, did you? Good-looking colour. Diesel, I did sit in the back when we was doing a bit of work with the lads over there. Did sit in the back of LEVC. Now, whatever we say about LEVC, there's a lot more on the road than what I expected there to be on the road, for one. But it felt beautiful. It felt absolutely beautiful. I mean, it just glided. I mean, this is a move. Oh, I mean, just so far away from TX's, it's unbelievable. I mean, it just feels like you're floating in it. So there's no denying that it feels nice. And everybody we speak to, it feels nice. And the guy that was given it, he took us from here and back round to there, charged £4.20. It was rate two. I'm further away than what I need.
I've got to say, Sean, that was a really, really good plug. The LEVC.
It
are
was
you on the
it was a
books?
No, well, on the books. Well, yes, God forbid we say anything decent about it. But the thing is, we've got to think about it, haven't we? And they've got to have some competition because that'll bring down price. But we've got to make go of one of them. And that's only my experience. I'm only talking from that. And that's not taking in financial implications, is it? That's just saying how it felt. But we've got to make a go of one of them. Otherwise, we're driving Priuses, aren't we? We're driving people carriers. Because no one will come into the market if the purpose-built vehicle doesn't make it.
Yeah, I think that we do have to have an alternative option. I think it's really healthy for the market. We can't allow just one company to actually offer us a form of transport. That means they've pretty much got total control of us in the future. So it is quite a good thing that we've got other ones on the market, and you've got the one that's coming out at the end of the year.
Nissan Dynamo,
right? The Nissan Dynamo.
But what's the one that's coming out?
The Metro. The Metro.
Fraser Nash Metro Cab, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, the Metro. The look of the Metro is a bit. But isn't this, and I was talking to Phil Ferrigno actually about this, and he's quite clued up on all this. But because I was of the belief that the Metro was real new technology. This was because it was self-generated. The battery didn't self, you know, kind of... Whereas the other one didn't. You've got to charge it up. But this was self-charging. But according to Phil, it wasn't. And he might be right. Maybe something about that it would cost a lot more or something to self-charge. But it does sound like that would be the way, doesn't it? But I don't like the look of it. And they both look a bit like, very boxy. don't you think?
Well, we've had... Can you hear me, Sean? Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear
we've
you.
Had
yeah.
a, we've had a... myself and Anthony went up to Coventry and met the Nissan Dynamo guy middle of May. And we had a drive of it. I've got to say, fantastic vehicle.
So you drove the Dynamo one?
Yes.
Did you really? Okay, interesting. Great. So, I mean, have you driven any of the others yet?
No.
Or been in?
No.
Okay.
I've sat in, like yourself, I've sat in, they're supposed to be coming out towards the end of the summer. They've said the end of September. The price, as Paul was saying there, the price will be competitive. It will be cheaper than LEVC.
Yeah, about 10 grand. I mean, yes. It's no small change, is it?
No, exactly. And it's fully electric. One charge will... they've said on the books it will look about 170 in mileage, but he's being quite honest and said you'll probably get about 130 comfortably out of it each day. So I don't know how many drivers do more than 130 miles a day. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I've clocked my mileage from home, and I live out towards Epsom. You think you do tons and tons of mileage a day. You don't. I've done 99 miles on one day doing sort of a 7-8 hour shift. Surprising, you know, little trips, Notting Hill Gate to Kensington, Park Lane, Soho, wherever you go. You don't really do as much mileage as you think.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You do a lot less, actually, because it's short stops, isn't it? But I wonder, I don't know, how quick it'll be dated. How quick will it? Because if it's got to be zero emissions capable, and you could say the LEVC isn't, I don't know whether it is completely, because it has a small petrol tank, doesn't it?
Exactly.
At some point, that's going to have to go as well, isn't it?
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd think so, you know, because it's pretty much... They're saying it's 100% electric, but as you say, it's got the petrol backup engine, which makes it... more of a hybrid to me.
It is a hybrid, really. I mean, I know that it's not running on that, but you could, in theory, you could say, right, I can't be bothered with this charging business. I'll just put 30 quid in, you know, whenever it's needed.
Well,
couldn't you?
I won't mention any names, but I know a couple of people that have done test drives over the weekend, you know, 3-4 days from LEVC, and they haven't even bothered to charge it. They've just used the petrol.
It's gone in,
which is completely...
Well, it's no different to the buses. The buses, it's going, if they go below 10 miles an hour or something, they run on the diesel, don't they? They run on the fuel. And, you know, nothing. The Vito, mine, it gives me my average speed every day. And it says about 8 miles an hour. It's always 8. It's a bad day if it's 7.
8 miles an hour.
If I did a day, 8 miles an hour, might be even less than that now. But if it's 7, I think, that's not good. It's getting worse.
We might as well go back to horse and cart. What do you think?
You go faster, wouldn't you? Well, that's it, LEVs. Yeah. There you go. You'll be zero emissions, except when the horses...
Good for the roses, though.
Good for the roses, yeah. Well, good for the... But, you know, we're looking at the 60s. They had an electric vehicle, didn't they?
That's, you know, right. Actually, I think Phil actually did put a post, didn't he, in the last year, that the first electric cab was over a century ago. So the electric cab has already been here and gone. It sort of slipped by the wayside over the last 100 years, and then someone suddenly decided that that's the way forward, and it's another marketing thing that can control the masses of transport and vehicles passing through any city. So,
and
clever.
And did you, they said about transport, with being able to go to the airport, and you got to put cases in. Now, they were saying the Dynamo is a little bit, you're going to be pushed for space.
He was very honest about that, Sean. I've got to tell you that he was very honest and said it won't be for everybody.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not huge, decent size inside in the passenger compartment, great space in the driver compartment for the driver. Not overly big in the footwell to get too many cases in, but, you know, horses for courses. If you're only going to be working in town majority of the time, and people, the argument is people come out and say, "Oh, what if you get a long job? What if you get a 200 mile roader?" And say, "Well, how many of them do we have? You know, and I'm sure if you said to the punter, "I'll tell you what, we'll have to stop once. We'll grab a cup of coffee for 20 minutes, half an hour, and I'll do you a deal on the cost when we get there."
Yeah. You know, the thing is, isn't this a case? Because I have seen a lot more out there than what I expected to see. and with my kind of foreboding if we boycott it altogether. But seeing a lot more, isn't this the case about, didn't they say this about the TX2 for the, say, the titanium or combat? I'm not buying that. Have you seen the price of it? Didn't they say it about the, you know, every cab since the TX4? And now they're saying about the electric, I'm not paying that, I can't pay that. The climate's changed. But eventually, and invariably, we will pay that. Isn't it a bit of that? Because if you did the costing, you could say it's pretty, well, it's comparable to what we're paying now on if you bought a TX. Was there a TX5? There was, wasn't there? I think they skipped one for some reason, didn't they? I think it was the ones that had fires. They skipped that one. Sure. There's no confusion. Was that? Sure was enough. They've still got gearbox and radiator problems, but we'll forget the ones that had fires and still having fires.
Sean, I think the genie's out of the bottle now. We're not going back now, are we? They're here, and they are the future, I think. We've pretty much been forced into them.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is, and... there's no going back now.
The real problem here is we'll have a two-tier system amongst us, because you'll have the diesel and you'll have... Because they should oblige the licence. That's your licence. And, you know, you meet every criteria. You meet the required standard and the vehicle meets conditions of fitness for 15 years. But I think you'll be stealthed out of the market so much. But until then, you'll have to compete with everybody who's allowed down electric lanes and maybe even ranks that give priority to electric vehicles. That creates division amongst us. Further division, you could say.
So the thing that we haven't even considered is that you just said yourself that you've seen more of the vehicles on the road. I've got to say I've seen a lot more of the LEVC vehicles. And what I'm worried about is, are we going to have enough charging points for all these vehicles? And because they're not really keeping up with the demand. And I think if I'm correct in saying by 2020, I don't think they're going to have more than about 2,000 charging points. Am I correct?
I think
roughly around about that. I mean, and bearing in mind they're sort of forcing vehicles, anything that's below, I think, is it the Euro 6 now? I know they've been issuing letters to TfL now saying that, you know, the Euro means that you've got all this coming now as well. So this promise about the 15-year of your vehicle is becoming irrelevant now, because they're almost, like you said, Peter, this is the future, and it's like they're trying to force it on us a lot quicker than
stealth. Crude oil will go up, you'll have restrictions, and there'll be no exemptions there. And everybody's getting hyper alert, aren't they, about it? I was in Brazil once, and their taxi, rural Brazil, and their taxi service was a wheelbarrow. That was great.
Was it an electric one?
It wasn't zero emissions, because he didn't off stink, a fella. But it was good as gold. I mean, he pushed me all the way up this hill. And he was about 90, the fella. And a wheelbarrow. And he waited there 8 hours, waiting time for me to come back down for 75 pence. Oh, is it great? Great. It was like years' wages.
And you're talking about Uber exploiting drivers. Come on.
Not a donkey in sight.
But I think that's a really good. I don't know. We are. It's strange times, isn't it? It's very different times. But I'm going to ask you, because we kind of discussed this last week and it didn't get covered. The one half of it did, and the second half didn't. And we need it covered, and we need people to say what it is, because you've been on holiday, and you know it is holiday time of year. Whether you've got the money on, you know, it's that feel about it. I was out yesterday, and the feel out there was holiday feel. You know, still in London, but it was holiday feel. Everybody was out. What movie, right, would you take with you to a desert island? If you had to. Now, you know what I mean? Because you got... last week was a track. What track would you take? You know, that track that reminded you of a sexy summer, sultry evening when you were just coming of age. Oh, gosh, you'd be very careful the way I said that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to wear some of these bits you're talking about?
Well, it's that feeling, nice. That kind of like, you know, that brings back that feeling of when you was, your formative years, when the world in front of you and he's going to conquer it, and, you know, nothing was going to stop you from, you know, achieving all your goals. Wasn't that a beautiful feeling? I think I had it for about 35 minutes when I was 14 and then I set myself up for a fall.
So are we asking what film we'd like to take, or a specific film we'd like to take from our formative years, Sean?
Either, but specify, because I think if you're going to take one away with you, that's it. That's the film I'm going to sit and watch for all eternity, you know, and that I'll be happy to watch this movie. Generally, I think, don't they all come from your formative years? Because there's some kind of pull on you, don't they, from...
Well,
you know,
I'm just worried that my formative years might discredit me in the future. I'm really thinking about
steady.
This.
And if you've blacked out all your childhood, that's something to consider well, isn't it?
So I'm going to give my little one away, and I think it was... don't know how to say this, but Greece.
Ah, oh, well.
And I actually saw that in the movies.
You're right.
I went and see that
and
in the
I
movies.
Did twice.
And I'll tell you what, I was shuffling my feet in the aisle as well.
Well, it was recently voted the best musical, so I don't think you're on your own. But don't they, the things with Greece, that is, they, I mean, it's fantastic to us, but they had, they have like, what was that? Like Fame when we was kids. Fame. They had something else recently that they was on, and it was like Greece every day on this series, wasn't it? Well, it was something kids or something, wasn't it? They all went to this dance school. You know Fame when they dropped a spoon and someone had tapped something else, it all turned into a great big dance routine, wouldn't it? It was great stuff. But
trying to think of the programme you're saying.
Was it recently?
I must have missed that one.
Well, you're cracking on 60.
I've got to be honest. I'm actually concerned now about your formative years now, Sean. I mean, I'd be interested to know what your one was before you put it to everybody
Vickers
else.
Included Vickers and things like that. No, it didn't.
Well, I'll tell you one. I've got one. It wouldn't be one that I'd bring to the desert island now, but my formative years, great memories. And I'll tell you what, the first time I was ever in a black cab, a friend of mine, his parents owned a pub in Beckenham, the Clock House in Beckenham.
Right, okay. You don't go there, do you?
No.
Right.
It's a long time ago. And his mum took us to the Odeon at Marble Arch, which is no longer there.
No.
They've knocked the bloody thing down.
No,
And we saw Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And I'll never forget it. No,
got to be careful how you say that as well, haven't you?
Hear me out. Because when we came out of there, we got in a black taxi, and it was my first black taxi ride ever. And I was like,
and you're
wow.
You haven't taken one
I've
since.
Never been the same since.
Was that awesome car, mate?
I mean, also, it's interesting. I always think the first...
It had no doors on it, Nick.
You know, the first film people actually remember, because I do. I mean, apparently I've been to a couple before, but I have no recollection. But I do remember going to see The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. My goodness, the Cyclops in the seventh, I thought was just the best thing ever in the world. And I tried to get my dad to draw it for me. It was terrible, and I was very disappointed. I tried to get my mother, and I think she just stole my dad's because it was just as bad. But I was obsessed with this stop animation for years after that, because I just thought, this is fantastic, this kind. Now you look at it, and it's a bit, you know, a bit plasticine-like. But The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, that was the first movie. So either or, the one you'd take away with you, or your first movie you recall. Nick, you're going to go for it.
I'm going to hold on, Nick. Before you do, I've got to say now it wouldn't be Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I'll take Goodfellas with me. There you go.
Fantastic.
I'll save myself.
No, fantastic. But that's a long time ago now. When you think about
great
it,
film.
Isn't it?
Oh,
great film.
Great,
brilliant
film.
You're looking at me. Who are you talking to? A funny guy. Who's a funny guy?
It's a long film. It's
funny.
Battery,
who? Funny
it?
How?
That's enough of the impressions of me. Yeah. Mate.
Yeah, we've got Italian Nick here, yeah. How you doing? Go on, what would be your film?
Mine would be, it's a bit more of a raunchier version of what Paul says.
Raunchier version?
I remember going in the late 70s to see...
Animal Farm, no.
You know me, Sean. No, Saturday Night Fever.
Well.
And today, it is still my favourite film, and I kid you not, I could go over to my cab over there and I have the soundtrack on the passenger compartment.
No way.
He's got the white suit hanging up in there as well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something briefly about that. I worked on the West End show of that before I became a cabbie.
Oh, it's a great
I was
show.
On Saturday Night Fever. I wasn't in it. I worked backstage. I was with the stage management and all that.
And you'll be pushed to find a better soundtrack as well.
It's fantastic soundtrack. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
More Than a Woman.
Oh. No.
Tavares.
No.
Oh, brilliant. Good stuff.
Yeah, and Yvonne Edelman one.
Her as well.
Yeah. Didn't Steps do that, Tragedy Business?
Yes, they... like I know. Did they, Sean? Sure? I wouldn't know.
Tragedy...
Straight cred gone straight.
You can't beat
the
Bee Gees though, can you? Yeah. There you go. So Saturday Night. I think that's well, same person.
But
John Travolta. I think it's comparable to Grease.
I would probably take that with me. But a film I find very, I'd have to have as well is a bit more of a courtroom drama, which is called The Rainmaker. If anybody's seen The Rainmaker, with Matt Damon, he plays a young just passing the bar exam lawyer, and he takes on this big corrupt insurance company, you know?
Is that the one where he keeps talking about Charlie Babbitt? Is that it?
No, that's The Rain Man. No, Pete, that's
Rain
Man.
Oh, is it a different one?
Rain Man, good film. I couldn't sit through it again, though. I'm not very good at sitting through films.
But I do recommend this film, The Rainmaker, you know, like... how this young, just out of sort of college lawyer, takes on this big corrupt American company with their board members of 10 like members.
I'll tell you what.
And he takes on this establishment and he beats them.
Well, I tell you what.
Sounds like the government of the day.
It sounds quite close to a... Okay.
Sounds like what? No, come on, no, you're calling them off. No, it's... You could say it does sound like our authorities at the moment, doesn't it? Them in charge. Yeah. And you can't do anything. Everything seems to be getting worse, but you can't do anything.
Well, that's what the film proved, that you can take on these big authorities or organisations and beat them.
Well, something interesting, and I did, I think I mentioned it briefly last week, but I'll mention it again, and we can all, as a discussion point when we come back in the next quarter, next half, or whatever it is. I was invited to go to a transport event, because I can't think of what else it was, it wasn't down as a listing of anything specifically to do with transport, but it had a stage full of big hitters. You got Nick Ferrari, and so there's a wage bill going down there, isn't there? He was doing his phoned-in jokes. Next to him was McNamara. Next to him was Jenny Jones. Next to him was Mike Brown. Next to him was... I was determined to remember his name next time I mentioned him, but he's an architect there, and he's a big player. He's just more under the radar of people's consciousness, you know. He just goes more surreptitious, but very clever guy. And next to him was Peter Hendy, two heads Peter Hendy. Mm. You know, suddenly Uber isn't the same working model as what he licensed when they first came into play. Well, they are, Peter. That's the trouble. And the fallout is because you license them. No difference at all. If you license a company like that, that deregulates everything else just by default, then you've got to take the responsibility for the fallout, haven't you? Really, Peter, you have to. And it's no good getting people blocked from drive time on BBC so you're not asked any challenging questions either. You do that, Peter, then you have to be responsible, because that's the result of deregulation. You know, you don't want checks and balances. You're going to get a fallout sooner or later. And it was going to take 3 years to get the fallout, wasn't it? When people eventually made the courts, you was going to actually get it. So it took a bit of time. But nonetheless, it's been more. It's exasperating. It's been more than what we ever thought it could be, isn't it? You've got a film for us, haven't you?
Yes, sure.
Thank you very much.
Well, Nick stole my thunder. But, yeah, I've got a film coming of age. You'll think you're Jack the Lad. You might remember it, people out there in the room. The Warriors.
Game over.
Come out to play, Ross.
Come out to play. Come out to play.
I mean, you know, it's one of those ones that sticks in your mind.
But, you know, that came out about the same time as video recorders, didn't it? So we all sat in front of it for hours and hours and hours, replaying it. Watch your best bit in it. Go on.
Axel getting caught thinking the cop were in the park's a prostitute. Oh, yeah. He thought he was the ladies' man, didn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely did.
He getting cuffed and not going any further.
Do you know, I used to fantasise about being one of the Warriors. I did. I used to think I've got to make it. And I actually went to Coney Island once. I did. When I was in New York, spent a bit of time there. I went to Coney Island. Have you been to Coney Island?
Yarmouth good enough for you.
I tell you what, it is great because it has a giant and it has that witch that spins around on the fair. Oh, I loved a witch in a great Yarmouth. Or was that Western Superman, one or the other?
It's quite dated now if you see it, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's incredibly dated.
There's gangs on roller skates. What's all that?
It's incredibly dated. It looks like the Wizard of Oz now, doesn't it?
They use mopeds now.
But it's a great... And they all had gang names. And now you don't have these gang names. Everybody's the same, isn't they? Everybody wears whatever they... I guess so. It always was. But they had to make it back from the Bronx, didn't they, down to Coney Island. And I went on that roller coaster, because you see one of those old wooden roller coasters, and I have a feeling it's only just been taken down. But it's one of those very old-fashioned wooden roller coasters. Fantastic, though, it was. Brilliant. You really did feel you was going to die. So that's it. I think we've done all the films. We're going to come back and we'll start a serious...
is London Taxi Radio. Get involved.
Okay, we're back here at London Taxi Radio. Remember, we're being hosted by City Diesel at GSS, and it's coming in at 129.9. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? Is it pretty good? I don't tend to look at the price myself. I mean, I just fill up whenever I need to fill up, but I think that's not such a bad one, is it, 129? And, you know, they host us down here, and they're pretty good. You know, if you haven't got... You know, everything goes over that one penny, doesn't it? And if you haven't got that one penny, then they're off down here, don't they? They're great. A couple of things. I was interested to hear Courtney Connell's rant that he had. I heard it on Mick the Brit show, Chat and Tunes, actually, on Friday night. I hadn't heard it before then. Now, you know, we might be used to Courtney talking about certain things, but this was one that really hit home with me, and I don't know if you've heard it or not, but you could listen back to Mick the Brit show on Friday, and it's at the top of the show, and listen to what he's got to say. And it's interesting because he says he was standing at the rank he usually works from in Clapham, and a woman came and she got a young baby, he thought she was going to take a cab. But she didn't. She stood there on her phone and eventually, she stood there for quite a while, and eventually, you know, a Prius turns up. And the driver folds up the chair, puts it in the back, in the boot, and then she puts the you know, baby in the back with her. Now, he's gone absolutely incandescent with rage over this, and rightly so, because you have to meet very stringent in licensing criteria, don't you? 3 years stringent licensing criteria, and only then, when you have meet the required standard necessary, and your vehicle, and this is poignant, your vehicle meets the conditions of fitness to ply on the on-demand market, you are allowed out to be a taxi driver. You are allowed out after you pass your cabology. Do you remember your cabology, folks? Cabology, yeah? But you had to make sure you knew how to, you know, put somebody in the baby shower. I think the TX2s came with one, didn't they? But he's gone mad over this because he just says they don't care. They don't care. She's blindsided because Uber presents itself as legitimate, as credible, and if anything happened, they'd be accountable, and we know they're not, but that's not how it's presented, is it? You know, I've always said they should be done for gross or false impression, you know, gross misrepresentation, I think it is, should be done for that, shouldn't they? Because they would give every impression that, you know, they'd be accountable if anything happened. They're not, but she's got in, so you might give her a buy, even though I wouldn't, because she hasn't taken responsibility for that, and you could say the regulators not taking responsibility, are they? And regardless of whether we think this is central government and Chris Grayling is complicit with that, the regulators don't have to do it, do they? They are not there to do government bidding, are they? They are there to, as arbitrators of the law, to enforce the law as it stands, not do a corrupt government's bidding. Now, you could say you are meeting all these conditions of fitness, the required standard, this licensing process, and they don't have to. But the contravention in the 1998 private hire regulations means they are working and infracting on your job, on the on-demand market. That's your market. And they are infracting heavily into that. And the result of that, we've seen an inexorable rise in road traffic accident. We've seen, I mean, the sexual assaults now are off the charts. There's so much so, it's a repeat of a theme that when we've reposted accidents or we've reposted news headlines, you don't do it anymore because it's a common practice. It seems, well, it doesn't seem, it is profoundly part of their working model, isn't it? Again, Peter Hendy, if you go for deregulation, then the fallout is part of their working model. You can't have a smart app at one end and then at the other end, this catastrophic fallout. Can you say, oh no, we won't acknowledge that, but oh, it's just this smartphone. The results are self-evident now, isn't it? So if you get a chance, have a listen to that, because the thing what Courtney does, and I don't know whether this is right or wrong, I can see his logic behind it, but what he does is says, right, okay, this is a criteria here that he has to meet, and he wants to meet that because that is about safety, genuinely, fundamentally about safety. And then he goes on to say, I'm not going to use one of their mandated card readers anymore, because that also has to meet criteria, that also has to meet the conditions of the vehicle and your license. So
He is saying, well, they are neglecting this side of it, which has a genuine case of safety, putting a baby in the back and not secured, as they should be. But he's got to meet this condition of fitness where he has to take a mandated system or work with a mandated system. That charges what I think is extortionate percentage. And so he's saying he's not going to use one of them. He's not going to do it anymore. I mean, I'd like to say to Courtney, I mean, the thing is, he does say the law is you don't have to. We are a municipal service. So before everybody thinks en masse, they're going to not use the card reader, the prescribed card reader in the back of the cab. We are a municipal service, and they could make whatever licensing criteria they wanted. That is it. You know, we are not just private enterprise. And I think that's a choice that will come to us very soon or later on, where we have to decide what do we want, be a municipal service or be a private enterprise. And then you'll lose municipal privileges like bus lanes and things like that. So we've got to think carefully. So they could apply this condition to say, yes, you've got to use this. But he has a case in point, doesn't he? It's not about safety. In fact, there is a compromise in safety if he had to get into the back of the vehicle. A compromise. So it's antithesis. It works in the opposite to safety measures. So he does have a point. And I'd like to say to Courtney, he has so much of a point that I don't use their mandated card reader. And I haven't done for about a year. And I've written to TfL to tell them that I don't use it because I was using CMT. And I've got no problem with saying CMT made me look unreliable and unprofessional. And I've chosen not to use it. They are not going to do that to me. And so I used the one, which happened to be CabApp and the taxi app one now. But I've used CabApp for 4 years and never had a problem. The CMT one gave me on-toll problems. And there was no way I was going to use it. I've written to TfL. I've yet to have a reply. And this was about 10 months ago. So it's been a while. They haven't replied to me. And I have followed, and I've had, it was second class, obviously. That's all they deserve. But I mean, I have followed it up as well, because I'm not trying to do something that's covert or trying to get away with something. I'm not using what they say I have to use, because the one I do use is fantastic, has been fantastic. So there you go. There's a compromise there. But it's interesting when it's a bit like saying, okay, I'm not... You're not cooking lunch, so I'm not going dancing in June. It's a bit like that, isn't it? One thing doesn't lead to another. One thing, not securing a baby in the back of a vehicle isn't the same as, the answer to that, I don't know, should be I'm not taking credit cards or something. You know, it's a bit of a bizarre thing to say, but I could see his point, and I think there's relevance there as well by saying this is a real safety issue that they're neglecting, and they are neglecting it. They are neglecting allowing someone to come into the on-demand market and then saying, okay, but, you know, this thing that they think, because it's a money thing and it's a business thing, isn't it? That's why. It's a business thing that we've got to oblige this regulation now, this stringent regulation, which I'm sure they enforce a lot more than they're going to enforce unsecured babies in the back of Priuses. But there you go. That was the big thing. So if you get a chance to listen to Courtney's message... and I mean, he's saying quite a lot at the moment, isn't he, Courtney? But this one is worth it because he does have a point. And when do we stand up and say, for trade reasons, not because the public want it, not because, we have just a desired interest? A bit closer. If you go a bit closer, Paul. Hang on. There you go. Yeah. Sorry, Paul, if you had a bit of a blackout there, but if you could.
Yeah. I was just saying, going back on that, it's the purpose of the vehicle that we drive, which is part of the conditions of fitness. You've got a vehicle that actually is designed to pick up a pram, and it can go directly back into the back of the vehicle, and if not, there's a seat in the back. So it seems like TfL are actually changing all the rules to actually fit in with the Uber platform and practice. And that's where I think it's disgusting, because we're going backwards rather than forwards with this.
Well, there's no enforcement. It brings us on to the bandits, doesn't it? Because the bandits, I mean, you have got these terrorist attacks. Now, we could all drive a car off the road into people on the pavement, can't we? It's not sophisticated, is it? But with that, and the fact that these, there are people out there that think that that's the right and the thing to do, and then you've got bandits, which are, I think, maybe a generational thing. We would like to start to say it's all disenfranchised kids coming through, nothing on offer for them. But they are going around, aren't they? And they are just, it's unbelievable. There doesn't seem to be the enforcement out there. And there must be a policy to have no officers on the beat. There is no officers on the beat. Remember, back in the day, they say we put an extra 5,000 on the beat. There is no police on the beat. And I know they're cut to the bone. But, again... in relation to the last story, a friend of ours, Terry, his name is, anybody that knows Terry, he's a grizzled veteran of the night. His son, a police officer, has been knocked down by an Uber driver and he's in a really bad way. And he's a police officer. And then conversely, the opposite to that is, we get news that the police are having to moonlight as Uber drivers. And you think, come on, this is all, what's going on? What is going on? Everything seems, the importance that we put on things, something like, say, 10, 15 years ago, really important things, discrimination, all that, the importance we would put on things seems to be a distant second now. I know Brighton at some point was saying maybe the Hackney vehicles there didn't have to all be wheelchair accessible. Not 100% fleet of wheelchair accessible vehicles. Now, you know that's an influence coming from business, don't you? Because, you know, no business, if you've got regulation, you've got to all meet that requirement because the burden's on us to meet it. Business involved, oh, maybe you don't have to now. Do you know what I mean? That is it. It's succumbing to business. Third-party profiteers, contractors, these are shareholders. And you know what happens when you have shareholders and third-party profiteers? You get Grenfell Tower, don't you? That's what happens, isn't it? They go, yeah, let's get rid of the restriction. Let's deregulate the fire service so they don't have to check the cladding. Let's make it as cheap as possible to satisfy third-party profiteers. And then you get a whole tower block go up in 30 minutes. I think it's disgusting.
Sure. Just going back to that about the police officer thing, I'm bemused why the emergency services have never got involved with this this Uber thing, the relicensing or anything like that. Because day after day, you see out on the streets of London, there's not a day goes by that you do not see an ambulance, not just attending an accident involving one, but they're struggling to get there. You see what I mean?
No, we have the incident. You're struggling to get there, but who is now over... the ambulance service.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? The country and western singer.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, and then the incident last week with the hotel, you know.
Oh, yes, yeah.
How long did it take emergency services to get to that?
Well, it's about time that went up, isn't it? I mean, come on. I mean, look. It's the old one of the oldest hotels in London, isn't it?
Sure, they've just refurbed it.
Oh, yeah, well, somebody's on it.
Look, going back on a serious note, we were talking about there, and Nick mentioned the problems with the emergency services attending RTAs in London. And let's have it right. Majority of them are Uber drivers.
Oh, yeah.
On a daily, nightly basis, it's happening. The services have been cut to the bone.
That's right.
The police, the ambulance, the fire brigade, cut to the bone. How much money is it costing the taxpayer to cover all this stuff?
Off the richest guy.
Let alone going on to the moped gangs that are driving about. And just, you know, for everybody listening out there, especially you night guys, you've got to be really, really careful out in your cabs at night now. Make sure your doors are locked. And they are working with impunity. You know, in certain areas, we all know where they are. Yeah. Lisson Grove seems to be a hotspot for it. You just got to be so careful. And there are no police out there. That's the problem we've got. They've been cut back so much. There are no police officers.
They're all drowning. The rainforest is dying and they're drowning in paperwork, aren't they? They can't go after them if they've got this, and got to meet all this criteria before they can go and try and arrest them. And I find this goes back to the policy of, I would if I could, but I can't. Can't do anything. And I just think, it's disgusting. There's a disgusting policy around at the moment where nobody can do anything. And I think there, all this time we thought they could. Maybe it is a bit like the LTDA. They thought they could. It was nearly as phony as what, you know what I mean? Oh, got a room full of high-vis jackets they put on for different things. And we all thought that enforcement was all legit. And you know what? We should have legitimate enforcement, shouldn't we? It shouldn't be phony. They might do a good job down, you know, clearing off the Priuses off King's Cross. But it shouldn't be phony. It should be legitimate enforcement, shouldn't it? And I think all this time, was it always like that? There was no real enforcement there. We were just led believe that it was there, and we abided by it.
It's at Paddington as well. Tonight I've seen something about they're going on down at Paddington now. They're sitting down on the pre-booked bays and just basically hanging up there, aren't they?
All right, well, here's a question.
Where is enforcement?
Well, here's a question for the LTDA, because it is interesting, because you've got... when was it? 2012? I think it was when Bob Odd, in his prime, he called the the dumbbell demo, which was Wickham Street. And if you go, you know, you lads would remember this. Wickham Street, Westminster had implemented a bus stop to be a rank four private hire. For it only was about four or five cars for that area on a weekend. Bob Oddie called a demonstration, didn't he? It turned out 11,000 drivers. When did you ever get 11,000 turn up? 11,000 drivers turned up to this demonstration to demonstrate against Westminster implementing this private hire rank, effectively a private hire rank. And they got rid of it overnight. Okay, Westminster got rid of it. What has happened in the mindset of the LTDA that they're all plotting up en masse at King's Cross and St Pancras, doing exactly the same thing they was doing down at Wickham Street, but they can't do anything. Can't do anything. Or won't do anything. What has happened in the mindset that en masse they're doing what they did at Wickham Street, but are not doing anything about it? It's an interesting one, isn't it? And it is be good to get an answer from them one day. A couple here from the real LTDA. How about that? So what's happening at the moment? Because what I do know, it's June, and June is a significant time of year, isn't it? June, I mean, there's a duality there. You got the shenanigans at Harlesden and the fantastic result last year at Woburn House Hall. Is it Woburn House?
Woburn House.
Tavistock Square. Fantastic result where Peter Walsh and Anthony Minas got elected to be branch representatives on branch chair and branch secretary, respectively, and get to sit in on the council management. Now, I've had a think about the council management. There's no point in hiding that. I've had a think about the council management. I think the LTDA, you know, you got an ageing committee here, effectively. Right. So the cab trade is being run by 70-year-olds, and I don't know how appropriate they are with what is happening currently. And significantly, two great lads, working cab drivers, got in, elected branch chair and branch secretary, and was able to sit in on the council management meetings. Now, to me, this was fantastic because it gave drivers a level of accountability that hasn't been seen at the LTDA for 30 years. And that is a case in fact. There's nothing, whether that's good, bad or indifferent, there's nothing they can say about that. There's been not a shred of accountability with this. With the people who, by and large, have been there for 35 years. Now, I don't know any organisation where you would have the head of the game, or in their 70s. There you go. That's a cutting edge of things, isn't it? Just by the nature of it, you need that dynamism, that kind of energy, to kind of that kind of the animal instinct to say, right, let's get a perspective on this, because we're not getting it, are we? So nothing hidden there, but you was there, and you was there, wasn't you? And I remember it clearly.
Just going to what you're saying there, Sean, about the time span. I mean, look, if you look at the United States of America, their president only gets two terms.
Two terms.
Two terms. And what's that span out to be? How many years?
Eight
years.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a reason for that, isn't there? Because it becomes undemocratic. There becomes priorities change, don't they? And I think if you put in provisions...
The rot starts to set in.
Well, yeah, you put in provisions as well then to protect that, don't you? And you think, now that's the situation. And I think what was good about it, we saw an opening and thought we need new blood, fresh blood. Not to dismantle the LTDA, not to annihilate it or even attempt to, but to make it accountable, make it proficient and make it more transparent. And I think transparency is the key here, isn't it?
Well, we got two, as you say, we had two people elected last year, younger men. And over the last year, they've shown willing.
Yeah.
Continue to show willing, and you have to question whether the com, who are now in their late 60s and 70s, have they got the willing, the want of when they were 30 years old? You know, have they got that same get up and go?
I don't necessarily know whether they had the same get up and go then. The thing is they've never had the threat against them. They've communicated via taxi newspaper. Never really been a problem, but they've kept everybody on the brink of anxiety for 30 years, thinking something was going to implode, something was going to happen, and it was all going to be disastrous. Suddenly they'd come through at the end and it would all be okay. This is a serious threat, and I really don't think they know how to handle it. Now, you could say the legacy is the LTDA was formed on the back of getting rid of minicabs and now we have 110,000. So that's the legacy of the LTDA. And you could go, well, it might have been a lot worse if they wasn't here. Well, we could say it would be an awful lot better if they wasn't here. So we're at where we're at, aren't we? And we can only go by the prevailing standard and the place we find ourselves now. That's all we can go by. 110,000 minicabs on the street.
Well, you talk about communication. I mean, over the last, well, I don't know how many years, it's a guess. I would say, the LTDA magazine, communicate with who? Because they don't, in my eyes, from what I read, they don't communicate with their suburban drivers. They advertise the central branch, green badge. Yeah. They certainly don't advertise the yellow branch, suburban branch, you know.
So you're a green badge. You're a green badge. So yeah. You went to a meeting, didn't you, of the suburban branch?
I did.
That's what I heard, anyway.
And I heard a lot as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you do that, and what was the outcome, and what did you hope to achieve from that?
Well, I went personally to see how things worked. And
right. But why did you go? Why did you go to see how things worked?
Because I didn't know how they worked. Right. I mean, okay, you know, simple as that.
Well,
no one had ever explained to me how they work. You hope that it works like a central branch meeting. Mm. And what I witnessed, but why, I don't think it did.
Okay, and it was that you went to see that there was some kind of, you know, accountability.
Well, there was
that
it was. There was a proposal through the agenda.
Yeah.
And it was just...
What do you mean there was a proposal for the agenda?
There was a proposal from...
the rules.
Okay, this is the Rules Review Committee, yes?
Yeah, there's the rules. Okay. Okay. I'm talking about, there was a proposal by the Central Branch Chairman put to the floor.
Right.
For a North Branch in central, green badge.
Right, yeah.
It was a what should have been straightforward certainly wasn't, because there was interference from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
By individuals who didn't want that to happen. Right. And then there was the other situation, which is a very big concern of mine. In the LTDA rule book, it states about a rules review committee. At a central branch meeting, we nominated our candidate, and that is another reason why we went to the suburban branch meeting, to witness the suburban branch member nominated. And, well, that just turned into a farce, quite frankly, from my point of view. Yeah. You know.
What was you trying to achieve there with a vote up at the suburban branch? Because was you allowed to vote in that meeting?
No,
because you're being green badge, all London, you wasn't allowed to vote.
You're allowed to attend, but you have no voting.
Right. Even though you can go into any of the sectors and work. This is not setting up a situation between yellow badge and green badge, absolutely not. I think some of that is imagined. But this was to see how... I mean, a lot of this comes on the back of having a central branch, which was born out of having a north and south branch anyway, wasn't it? It was a consequence of that.
Yes.
So this goes back quite a long way, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, like I say, the suburban branch chairman was unwilling to go forward with a yellow badge member to be put on the rules committee. And he was being led from the floor by two con members, in my opinion.
Okay.
See, in the rule book, it states, you know, you have one member from each branch on the Rules Review Committee.
Correct.
So, our central branch, we had nominated a member. He also come along to this suburban branch meeting to meet what would have been his counterpart.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Had we been allowed to... Or you know, which should have been so straightforward, as Ross said, should have been a straightforward vote for
a nomination
or whatever from a yellow branch member to be on the Rules Review Committee. Yeah. Well, just wasn't going to happen. It, like as Ross was saying, it was being conducted from the floor.
Well, what I understand about the Rules Committee anyway, that is driver-led, that is membership-led, and actually that does have some control over what Com would just take it upon themselves to decide. I mean, I'm led to believe they are there to ratify, and that is it. They are
ratify,
not there to change
it,
or
ratify,
take control
not change,
of
not,
the
not
rules.
Make, you know, the rules are in. The rules have been put in place a long time ago. Yeah?
Yeah.
So... I personally believe they're not being adhered to.
Yeah. Well, there, was a, there was a time when we didn't see the rule book. There was a time the rule book was everything.
Right.
You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that because of the rule book. Yeah. But suddenly the rule book is, doesn't matter, it's out the window.
The rule book suits them, it doesn't suit the membership.
Well, it shouldn't suit both. It's about keeping both accountable,
that's
yes.
Right, yeah. I'd like to bring up there, at that meeting in April, you know, openly admit it got a bit heated, but when you see some of the things that were going on, it was bound to be heated and each other. Central branch members being blamed by suburban branch members and vice versa. I mean, that to me, as much as you don't want it to happen, that is what happens in union meetings, organisation. Things can get a little bit heated.
Yeah.
Things can get disrupted. But what the end token of it was that the suburban branch chairman, who was very unwilling that in the April meeting...
Suburban branch chairman. Who's the suburban branch chairman?
His name is Andy Kavanagh.
Andy Kavanagh. Okay, he sits on comm for many years.
Well, I don't know. I can't comment on how he's done. I'm sure he's done a few years, but I can't comment.
He is. He's a Stratford sector three. Okay.
But he actually, Mr. Kavanagh, made a promise at that meeting that it will be sorted out in the June branch meeting.
Right.
So I await the answers and the nomination. The reason it got a bit heated is because. Paul Brennan, who's on the comp,
he's
a green badge driver, but they wanted him to be the nomination for the yellow badge.
No, he can't be.
No, it's not in the rules. The problem is, when the rules don't suit them, they use this term custom and practice.
Custom and practice has to be agreed by the membership.
The trouble is,
not told by the top table.
It has to what? Sorry?
Has to be agreed by all the members.
The membership.
Hang on a second.
The LTDA would love this, wouldn't they? Have a discussion over custom and practice. Custom and practice shouldn't apply. Passivity for not carrying out something because people's ignorance, because they don't know about it, isn't custom practice. It's just not acknowledging that it's an actuality.
This is how things are at odds. When I had a discussion at the suburban branch meeting, and I said I made it quite clear that what was being proposed at the suburban branch meeting was not acceptable. I was told by a comm member that that's what we've decided, but it's not their decision.
It's the
membership's decision. It seems to me the comm. We'll play the rule book when it suits them and then ignore it when it's not going in their favour. And then they revert to custom and practice. And I repeat to the 10,000 members out there, custom and practice has to be agreed by all of you. You know, but how can you agree to something if it isn't communicated to you and you find out after the fact or when you're there, i.e. at a disciplinary.
Yeah,
you find out that custom and practice is being worked on you. It's just not acceptable.
Yeah,
I seem to use that word quite a bit at the suburb meeting as well. With the comment.
Yes, you did.
Thank you very much.
Well, anyway, I mean, these are working cab drivers. And what I will say, the election takes place this month on the 27th
of June. 27th
of June. Woburn House, that's Tavistock Square, isn't it? Be there. If you're a member of the LTDA, don't just let it go by. If you're unhappy with what's happening, if you're unhappy with where we are finding ourselves as a trade, because that's all we have to go by, that is it, then turn up at Woburn House, Tavistock Square, that's at 7 p.m.
That's right.
This month, so just, you know, put in a bit of an effort, because this is about the future of the trade, and at the very least, if nothing else, there's a level of accountability there that we haven't had for 35 years of the LTDA.
And I know a lot of members, if they're listening, they'll probably just be listening and going, oh, yeah, look, it don't really affect me, nothing to do with me, you know. Or that's like...
Everything affects every member. Believe me. That's why you pay £16.80. Not all, some members, I don't know, I can't give percentages. Members might be happy, but what are they happy with? Just having legal cover? Is that it? No. Because it's so much more.
You could say all of them only are there as legal to defend your badge if anything kicks off. But the paper has propagated that they have had the fingers in all the pies and actually
there's an awful lot more to it. There's an awful lot more. If you attend these branch meetings, any meetings to do with your association, and you scratch the surface, there's an awful lot more we can go on about things like LTDA Enterprises. things like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could. But I think at a driver level and how we're affected, we're in a situation that we have never been in before. And we're expecting people that, well, to me, they look like they've just been got had electrodes on them up from the London dungeon or something.
Come and find out where your subs are going to.
Exactly that. And I think you should have people there, that appropriate people, who have remit, that can hold their own against the opposition, whatever that opposition is. And I think with the LTDA, you've got one person who, as far as holding their own, can hold their own. Anything happened to him in that arena, there'd be big problems. But as for the council of management, I think fresh blood is desperately needed. And with having accountability there, you're one step further to getting that.
Yeah. So, sorry, Sean, I was just going to elaborate slightly on this discussion. And I think the important thing for any members that are out there, I mean, look, if you're happy with the way the LTD are running, then that's fine. There's no reason for you to be involved. But, you know, we will continue pursuing what we expect of the biggest association. And more importantly, we have to recognise as well that if a lot of drivers, I believe, think that the legal cover is the thing that's going to protect them, we also have to consider that the way the industry's changed now, legal cover is not going to save your job. What will save your job is going to branch meetings, getting involved instead of maybe possibly reading just a magazine and, you know, just making accountability. You know, this is not an attack on the LTDA. This is about its membership actually saying, look, I am interested in where my trade's going. And I think that's where we really need to. This is where we're at. And like I say, I think the trade's changed so much that the association, it definitely needs to listen to its members.
Just come in there, Paul. You say it isn't an attack on the LTDA, but I do believe the LTDA think it's an attack on them because they don't want what we are hoping. No, you know, yeah. As simple as that. That's black and white. They're not moving the same way as members want that go to branch meetings. Can't speak for all the members. We have to be fair there. But like I say, I just don't believe they believe in the way that we see the trade. I mean,
well, they're combative. They would argue against, it seemingly argue against everything that's put to them.
Well, that's a fair point because there's been eight branch meetings this year, and questions have gone to the con. And you know, let's say, I don't know, ballpark figure, 20 questions were put for them. You know, questions, requests, questions haven't been answered. Come back. Anthony Minas, the chairman, has come back with answers. But if you put 20 questions in over 8 meetings, you expect 20 answers.
Yeah.
And if you put requests in, you would like say...
Or commitment to answers, yes. Yeah,
or a request. Yeah. We've got no, no, no. And then why is it a no? You don't get nothing. That's not democracy.
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
Give us a reason why you're saying no, and you don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just stonewalling. It's as simple as that. It's stonewalling, you know, and, you know, you get vicious, if that's the right word, you get attacks about, because the membership, there's members going to branch meetings now more than they have been in the last year than it has been in the existence of the LTDA, as far as I know. We're branded troublemakers, agitators. I mean, you know,
well, it's easy
rather
to do
than
that.
Listen, they try and be derogatory. And I use that word because, you know, a gentleman has made derogatory marks towards the membership.
But it's easier to discredit people, isn't it? And then you can carry on operating as you are. Your little system isn't threatened, then, is it, if you discredit people coming through requiring answers? Just discredit them. And so that's, you know, and then carry on with the way you've carried on all these years. And you've got to give it to them. That's all they understand, isn't it? That's all they understand, because they've never had this influence. They've never had this stimulus come in and challenge their position.
Well,
never had it.
Of my opinion, some of the con members do not like criticism. And like you say, they've not had it.
Not had it.
The
not
last
it.
Year, they've been
it's
criticised.
A privileged,
they don't
it's privileged.
Like it.
Yeah.
If they don't like it, prove the criticism wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Do something about it.
Well, that's it. Instead of remaining stagnant in this place of...
A perfect example is, don't ignore the branch meetings.
Yeah.
Come to a branch meeting. Win our vote. Don't just ignore us because you won't win our vote.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes into those who don't bother, they depend on that vote.
Do you know what, though, quickly? I mean, they've still got, I know they've got a very corporate side to them, the LTDA, but they still have that old union, Ed, from the old union days, haven't they? That they just want to keep it here at all costs, clinging on, no matter what's changing around. You know what? No, you could have avalanches around your volcanoes, they're going to cling on to this position here, not going to move. Hope for the smooth running of it. Hope for it. And if it changes, oh, you'll have to deal with it at the very end. But that is it, isn't it? And that's what, that's still got that old union. The idea of going to court would be a mystery to them, would be, you know, would be something that they don't understand, because unions don't generally take out litigation or go to court. They do protest. They direct action. That's what unions do, isn't it? They stand up in that way, in a kind of a strong work front, don't they? That's what they do. Having said that, and I will say this, because it'd be good to see more members turn up at the RMT, and the RMT's branch meeting is tomorrow night, and that's that, and I'll just get it up. But I know you're itching. I tell you what, the look on their faces when I said that. There's no secrets here. Come on. You've got to be very careful what you say. Yes, yes, I'll tell you what. Take all your eyes out. No, it's all right. The RMT's branch meeting will be at 8:15, and that's tomorrow night. And Lucas Arms, Grazing Road. Back in the Lucas Arms. We was down in the Strand. The RMT was gentrified, I think, under Lewis. Sorry, where is Lewis? Sorry,
is that a members' meeting or is that open?
No, it's a members' meeting at the RMT. Just putting it out there, because that could do with more members turning up, getting active, getting involved in their trade. You know, there's a new branch secretary there, and he's doing a great job. And a more cohesive, you know, more kind of empathic, more kind of relating to other members and other representatives out there. So it's worth coming down. And also, you know, what are they doing? What are all the orgs doing? Turn up, go and meet them. I know Grant was going to come in here tonight, was held up. Go and see Grant at the LCD. So go and get in touch with their committee, get in touch and get involved.
Can I just ask there, Sean? You're talking about the RMT,
yeah,
which obviously is your right. I'm not being sarcastic. Do you actually know how many members the RMT have?
I don't know, and I don't know. I don't know whether I don't know how much of a relevant question. I wouldn't question it. What I'm not into, and this is a case in point, and it might apply to the RMT as well. I'm not into secondary representation.
Yeah.
So I'm not into this kind of, oh, well, if you've got a 5,000 more members, we might be able to take them to court. We might be able to do this. I'm not into that.
No,
because if you, and certainly with the unions, and this is for all the unions to consider, certainly unite, because they've been given a free pass, haven't they? Mary, Mungo and Midge sitting around the table for all these years. They was there, wasn't they? You know, Hedges and Rose, they was there. Now, the thing is, they would say, oh, well, if we have more members, we'd be... No, you secondary representation, I don't pay for that.
No, that's right.
You should be represented the same as everybody else. Now, somebody can get, you know, their 30 seconds taken off their fag break and they'll call them out. But what's happened to us, the real heavy infraction into our industry, what's happened to us? They should be calling them out. They should be having a real scream up. And so I'm all for that. So there's no free pass there.
No, I mean, this is it. It's not just from my point of view as an LTDA member. I mean, there's apathy in all the unions, no matter the size of.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got to get going. Uber's a big threat. I mean, at the moment, they've got this massive PR machine going, you know, playing this 18-month temporary licence. I mean...
Well, no, they're illegal. The company's illegal, and they shouldn't be accommodated at all.
You know, if TfL agree to that 18-month licence, they won't need to go to court.
No, they won't need to go to court. Well, again, that's a bit like how they approach everything.
And this was the worrying thing in the very first place when Mayor Khan, or Mr. Khan, whatever you want to call him, you know, I want you to... You're not going to be relicensed, but I want you to talk to Uber. I mean, Jesus, I never understood that in the first place. And here we are, getting very close, and all of a sudden... Uber's in the limelight. I mean, what was the LTA? Another petition went out to sign.
Another petition went out.
How many more petitions?
I don't know what you can do to combat something like that, but nonetheless, they are illegal. And unless they tackle this in the courts this time, the illegality of their operation will be lingering and will be in the same place as we are now. And like we're coming to an end game. And I don't think drivers can be kept in this place of incertitude for any longer. I think for health reasons, they shouldn't be kept in a place of limbo. And I think that's a real big problem. And it should be dealt with imminently. And whatever the result, whatever the final outcome, it should be done imminently.
Sure. Yeah, going back to like Uber's publicity stuff.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, Uber's publicity stuff and that. I will say we, because
we're the members and we pay. We employ a communications company, yeah. Newington Communications.
That's right. It took over from Bellingham 24 hours a day.
That's right. I mean, I'd still like to know what they're doing for the sake of our membership.
I mean, a little bit for the sake of the membership. They are political lobbyists. I did have one get in my cab. How about that? We'll have a little chat about this. I got one get in my cab. Who did he look like? What can I say he looked like? No, something unearthly.
Yeah.
A bit like the LTDA themselves. Don't they?
Fantasy Island.
He did. He got in my cab and he went. He said, I'll lobby for you lot. Don't you lobby for me, do you? As he was giving me a bit of that. No, sir. But he said it was around about Christmas. I think, no, it wasn't. It was around about the last election. And he was taking time off from the LTDA. Of course, he knew Stevie Mack very well. Taking time off from them because he was doing his political lobbying for the Labour Party. So there you go. He was all right. I did say to him, I said, well, you know, go on, be brutal. What's the worst? Because you want to say, what's the real problem? If there's a problem in our industry, come on, come through, because we'll do something about it. You can't keep saying, it's not there. And he said, well, he said, no. He said, actually, he said, about 10% will let you down. He said, but he said that public opinion has really changed in favour of the train. Now, I think it's a bit like we're doing better with work now than what we was 2 years ago, but not because of a policy change, just because of the nature of the way things happen. You would have a hemorrhaging over to them, and then, the bad experience with them, you get some come back to us, wouldn't you? That's the nature of work, and that's what we're seeing. We're getting a lot of those jobs that we had lost come back to us. That's not because there's policy, and certainly not because there's enforcement out there, do you know?
So they've been lobbying for us, have they?
Whether they've achieved anything, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I know. That's a fair statement. They probably have been lobbying, but whether or not they're going to achieve anything.
Well,
the only time you'll see achievement is when that court case comes up.
Yeah.
If it goes in our favour, that's an achievement. If it doesn't, then it's a failure.
Toss
of the coin.
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. But what I do know is they could have been lobbying, but I don't know whether we see it at driver level, because they're not listening to the members at the branch meeting who they should be listening to, cab drivers out there really affected by this. They're listening to the lobbyers, aren't they? They're listening to their PR company.
Well, Simon,
and that is it. And he's obliging whatever they say he should be doing.
Yeah, getting members to sign a petition and email their MPs. We're the ones doing the lobbying, really, then, aren't we?
And I'm going to we'll wrap it up because could go on forever. But wrap it up.
Oh, we could.
We could, couldn't we? Yes. But the thing is here.
I'm talking about that. Missing me dinner.
Yeah. The thing is here. All those the big hitters, the ones that are on the inside, people like the LTDA and Unite. If they are relicensed, then their positions have to be looked at very seriously, because I don't think they can carry on if they fail in their remit to get minicabs off the street, and that's effectively what they were there
can
to
I
do.
Just have to just one last thing,
no,
one last
why?
Request let's say if you're an LTDA member, get yourselves along on the 27th of June to Woburn House, Tavistock Square, 7 p.m. No excuse. If it's just 1 hour, there's no football match, no England football match that night anyway, so please just come along, have a vote. Yep.
Paul wants to get in. I know he's got something to say on behalf of TaxiUp, actually. What's that, Paul?
And it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Yeah, Paul. What's the score?
Right. So, for all our lovely listeners out there, regarding TaxiUp, as a lot of drivers are already on the app may be aware, we've got a fantastic deal with PayPal, by having the PayPal card reader means that you're getting a fantastic percentage of 1.5%.
That's all right. That's all right. When you compare to CMT, which is 3.9 plus the 20 pence, that's a good saving. It negates the £5 prepayment a week, doesn't it? That's really good.
I mean, the idea of it is that you get the 1.5 if you do it through TaxiUp.
Yeah.
So what we're actually showing the trade, which is a very hard thing to do with such corporate involvement in our industry, is that working drivers themselves can actually make the difference by actually getting involved, signing up to TaxiUp, and the money that you're saving is actually paying for you to have the app. And invariably, not on top of that, you're also going to be, pounds in anyway, because the percentage rate is so good. And we actually believe that the more drivers that actually start to see that this is the building up and the momentum of what TaxiUp's trying to achieve, and bearing in mind we're from one small seed, you know, we haven't got no corporate investment. And that's why sometimes with drivers getting itchy feet about the app itself, it's going to take time, because the other apps that are prevalent in our city, you know, they're selling this idea that they can do fares cheaper, et cetera, and fixed prices, and they've got better coverage. And that is a, that's something we're trying to, you know, gauge as well, because the trade needs to realise sometimes we've got to take more of a responsibility in helping our own trade app. And, you know, and this is one of the things that Taxi App has actually achieved. So we've got this 1.5% deal. It doesn't cost you nothing. So you get this this card reader, and it's so easy to use. It's approved by TfL. And at some point, you know, it is a handheld one, but they can be fitted in the back.
And well, let's get anything away. I mean, okay, the card reader's there. It's what you do with it as a backup, whatever, however you use it. But yes, it can be fitted in the back. And if it's a, if it's pay, if you're on PayPal already, you just sign in through Taxi App, and then you can use the card. So there you go. It's a really good deal, I think. And anything we can scratch back, saving. And Taxi App was born out of that idea, wasn't it? To scratch the work back and some income back for the drivers.
I think more importantly, Sean, is that what we've noticed, that we've had a lot of feedback from drivers that have come out with suggestions about how Taxi App may be able to get more drivers on board, you know, by doing different charges and costings. But, you know, to run an app, unless people, these drivers are involved in what we're having to do to actually even get to this point that we're at, it does need funding. There's no mistake about that.
It needs stability as well.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we're in for the long haul. But the important thing for drivers to recognise now is with this PayPal reader, it's Taxi App saying, look, you've got this card reader, you're saving money, so invariably the app is going to cost you nothing and you're benefiting from using the card reader.
Well, it was never a donation in the first place, was it? It is about getting you work. And really, you should be covering that £5 a week prepayment anyway. But this, just by the nature of it, because you can use the 1.5% on all jobs, then you're making your money back in abundance, I would say. So what's stopping you? Come on. Get on down. They didn't even come down for a LTR sticker in the window. And, you know, come on, drivers. It's summer. It's summer. Yeah. We got a sexy, sultry summer's night here. This is like the car park before you get to Megaloof Beach.
I didn't notice that when I came in.
Yeah, the cabs are in better nick on Megaloof Beach. No, so you do. You cross over something like that, jump over the barricade. You know, get septicemia from the railing, and then go on the beach.
Yeah, well,
spread
look,
it about.
I mean, Did you tell them about the pumps? You know, the price of the pumps?
Who's
because
pump?
One of the pumps you was talking about is Malibu and Pineapple.
That's why there you go. Well, you've missed out. And we'll be back, though, on the second Monday of every month. So when is it? July next month? Yeah, we'll be back second Monday of July. So remember that. That's live here, hosted by City Diesel at GSS. And it's been great tonight. And if you come now till closing, you're going to get, well, I think it's 129.9. That's all right, really, in the current climate. Crude oil is going up, isn't it? You can see it. But look, you can get in touch with us at any other time through London Taxi Radio on the DM, on Twitter, on at London Taxi Radio. Or you can get in touch with me on my personal account, which is at Sean Paul Day. Go over to the Facebook page. You can like it, at London Taxi Radio, or get in touch with me via email. That's sean@londontaxiradio.co.uk. Peter.
Sean, very quickly, this is a plug for the Russell Square Green Hut.
Okay, yeah, nice one.
The lovely Kate and
isn't
Jude.
She lovely? I looked at that
isn't
video the other day. Was she lovely
in
that?
Flows.
Yeah.
It's all about music tonight. No, but look, all seriousness, Friday, June the 30th, they're having a bit of an open day, a bit of a fancy dress. It's 90 years anniversary of that Green Hut, which started, believe it or not, in Leicester Square and then moved up to Russell Square.
Brilliant.
She's doing food and everything, entertainment. Jude's dressing up as Catwoman. And Kate is dressing up as Wonder Woman.
I thought that was a secret.
There's not going to be a fight, is there?
What's not to like? Get along there, fellas. It's for a great cause, as we say, London Taxi Drivers Fund for the underprivileged children.
Brilliant.
Give generously. Brilliant. All the donations she takes on that day. The food's not going to be charged. It's just going to be a donation for your cup of tea and your bacon roll. Give generously. It's a great, great fund. Please,
it is.
Please get yourself along.
And drivers as well. I mean, they do those trips as well. Certainly, it's a fantastic day.
I think there's one coming up in July.
Yeah,
so,
coming
brilliant.
Up in July.
And as I say, Friday, 29th of June. please make it up there.
It is. And Russell's, it's great down there. I mean, we used to do a curry club there. Back in the old days. And I mean, it's always
in the good old days.
Yes, in the good old days in my youth. And we did talk about films, didn't we, from our formative year. I ain't got any time, but you can always, you know, tweet us what is your favourite film. It's always good to know, isn't it? You might not have seen. Nobody watches black and white films anymore, do they? So we must. But, Baby, I Love Your Way. There you go. That's our lot. And, well, I'll see you. We'll speak again this time next week, but definitely live on the second Monday of every month. That's me signing out, Sean Paul Day, and the rest of the team here. Have a good week, and I'll see you out there on the mean streets. And they're moving across the page. Suddenly the day turns into night. Far away from the city.
Islands in the sun. I wish I could buy.